We're starting a new subject this evening. We're still under the course title, the Holy Spirit, but the subject we're going to be studying now for the next few sessions is called Fruit of the Spirit. And I don't know if I've ever heard anybody teach on Fruit of the Spirit to go all the way through as far as just breaking things down. But back several years ago, I just feel like the Lord dealt with me about something and opened some things up to me. And so what I'd like to do is start out by reading the scripture reference, because I feel like we need to establish what fruit is. And how many of you know fruit is produced? It doesn't just happen. Okay? And so our first scripture is in John, the 15th chapter, where Jesus is doing the speaking. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." I want you to note that and think about Ephesians 5:26, the washing of the water of the word, okay? "You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will..." This is a different translation. You will as what you desire, and it shall be done to you. We'll talk about that later, okay? You will ask. That helps me. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will or what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciples." So, that chapter is about a vine and about a branch, right? Or branches. And we see from just that reading where life source comes from. The vine doesn't bear the fruit, but the branches do, right? Then I want us to go to Romans chapter 7, and I want us to look at the first four verses in Romans chapter 7. "Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For if the woman who has a husband is bound, for the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God." Then let's look at Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. We're going to talk about these scriptures in more depth as we go along. This is just giving you the foundation. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Okay? So there's nine fruit, right? Just like there were nine gifts, there are nine fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is, from my perspective, has often been ignored. And it seems like most of the emphasis has been placed on the gifts of the Spirit. But fruit bearing should be a top priority in every believer's life. That's what we're called to do, is to produce fruit. And the fruit that He is asking us to produce actually exemplifies the character of Jesus Christ. I'll talk about that a little later on, too. I don't want to jump ahead of myself here. But we've been ordained by God to be fruit-bearing Christians. That means we must produce fruit and that our fruit is to remain. Okay? So, one who's been united with Christ actually has a heart change. No more Adamic nature, but divine nature. If you're truly born again, then it's a nature change on the inside, thereby giving one the ability to produce fruit. Listen, you're not going to produce the character of Christ if Christ isn't living in you. That's just an absolute fact, okay? Then there's other variables in all that, too, that it's just not automatic. Just because you plant an apple tree doesn't mean you're going to get apples. The tree may grow and no apples, you understand. Or the apples aren't edible, whatever. Well, our lives, now I'm talking about the born-again believer, our lives should illustrate the life of Jesus. A lot of people want to duplicate the ministry of Jesus, but they don't want to live the life of Jesus. And I promise you, if you're going to do the ministry of Jesus, it will be because you're living the life of Jesus. Okay? I'm talking about truly fulfilling the ministry of Jesus. There's a lot of people who go about doing good works, and there's some things that happen along the way. And I think it deceives a lot of people in thinking, well, because God used me, God approves of me. We did this, so God approves of me. Well, you need to read the 7th chapter of Matthew. There's going to be many who say, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we do mighty wonders in your name? And He's going to say, I never knew you. I never knew you. All right? So we're talking about entering into a relationship with the Lord. And that happens through a recreated spirit. We're here the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We believe that word. And we act on that word. In other words, we believe in our heart, and then with our mouth we acknowledge what our heart believes. And then that's how salvation occurs. But one who's confessing Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior should be demonstrating with his lifestyle that Jesus is indeed the Lord and Savior. I've had a lot of people just tell you, I'm a Christian, but there's not enough evidence against them that you could convict them in court. As a matter of fact, you could disprove it. They're not acting like Christ at all. It's like Jesus told the religious people of His day, you have your father the devil. You understand? The works that you're doing will tell on you. It's going to identify you. The fruit of your life, the character of your life, the way you conduct yourself, your attitude, all these other things are going to tell people whether you are born again or not. That doesn't mean you never miss it. But if that's an habitual lifestyle, you have a nature problem. You with me? And this is what he's dealing with, is our nature. The things I want to lay some groundwork before we go into this to show you how important it is, because Jesus is depending upon His body, which is the church, to carry on the ministry that He started. And it's important to know that He started it. So the ministry is already out there. What we're to do is enter into a relationship and then have intimate fellowship with Him. And by hanging around Him and knowing Him, you'll start acting like Him. You won't be trying to develop or build your own ministry, but you will continue a ministry that has already started. Acts, the first chapter, the former treatise have I made on Theophilus of all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the time He was taken up into heaven. So, He began, so evidently, He's looking for somebody else to carry it on, and that somebody else is the body of Christ. So we have a responsibility to continue what Jesus started. You with me? So, the only way that Jesus has to minister in earth today is through people. And I'm talking about a legal ministry. Because dominion belongs to man. When God gave dominion to Adam, He did not take the dominion back when Adam fell. Man still had dominion. And man still has dominion. So the legal authority in the natural realm today is a human body. All right? So that's why God needs a human body in earth. So Jesus is looking for His body, which is born-again believers, the church, to fulfill the ministry, to carry on the ministry that He started. And if you look at the book of Acts, you'll find that that's exactly what those Acts are. It's just simply the ministry of Jesus continuing after Jesus has already ascended back into heaven. But the interesting thing about that is He told those disciples of His, and we're looking at men who had done miracles, healing, you understand, casting out devils, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He told these men, wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. And in the 8th verse of that first chapter of Acts, He tells them that you'll receive the Holy Spirit, but when you receive the Holy Spirit, or after the Holy Spirit's come upon you, you will be witnesses. Now, the underlying thing that I see in here, in this, is He's saying, you're not ready to go out. You don't have the ability to be witnesses. It's going to take power. You've done works. I'm wanting you to be. There needs to be a character change. I could say, Peter, you denied me. And to the rest of them, you all ran and left me there against them and they by myself. You didn't have the power to be. You didn't have the power to stand up and represent me. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, it'll be a different story. You won't run now. But you will actually be witnesses. That's why we put so much emphasis on receiving the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, you can desire to be, but you don't have the power to perform it. You would desire to produce fruit, but you can't produce fruit by yourself. You ever notice that? Good. The same. It's a spiritual truth. It's a spiritual principle. And unless you're united, if the Holy Spirit is not united with your spirit, or you united with the Holy Spirit, you don't have the ability to produce fruit. It takes a union. And through intimacy with God, through the Spirit, we have the ability to display the character of Christ through fruit of the Spirit. Does that make sense to you? Okay. So, if we're going to carry on the ministry of Jesus, it starts with acting like Him. In character. You understand? I could say some things there. There's a lot going on through my head right now, but I don't want to get into the certain areas. I want to stay on the subject. Okay? But a lot of things that are going on today are not the ministry of Jesus. but yet it's done under the name of Jesus. People standing up and saying, God said, God hasn't said. Or people saying, the Lord told me to do this, and the Lord Jesus Christ didn't tell them to do it because it's not in agreement with the Word. You with me? And so we have to stay in agreement with the Word. In order to do that, you have to know what the Word says. But fruit of the Spirit actually reveals Jesus. And this is what you and I are to be doing wherever we go. We're to be revealing Jesus, not showing ourselves. I'll let you evaluate that. When you walk up, what do people think? Sobering. And there's a difference between fruit of the Spirit and fruit of your labor. Fruit of the Spirit is actually dealing with the person of Jesus, the character. Fruit of your labor is actually dealing with works. So there's a difference between fruits of your labor and fruit of the Spirit. Okay? Good deeds are fruits of your labor. They're not the character of Jesus. But if you have the character of Jesus, you'll be doing good deeds. But good deeds do not take the place of character. There's a lot of heathen out here that do good deeds. I mean, you know, some of the outlaws and all at Christmas time will, you know, go give gifts to kids and all that. Those are good deeds. But those good deeds are not going to get you favor with God. God's not going to overlook character. You can say, I have character flaws. Well, the way we get rid of character flaws is get in the closet. Now, I don't mean literally, but you can if you want to, okay? I'm talking about getting alone with the Lord in intimate time with the Lord. And the more you get into the light, the more you'll reflect the light. You with me? But if you're hanging out in darkness, you know what people are going to see? The dark side of you. And we shouldn't have a dark side. Have you ever read in James where it talks about the Father of light in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning? God doesn't cast a shadow. He's so brilliant. You understand? He doesn't have a dark side. And a lot of people today are talking about the dark side of a person. And I'm not going to agree with you on that. You can talk to me all you want to about my dark side. I'm not going there. That man died. You understand? We buried that man. That's not to say that I'll never make a mistake. But I can tell you this, I'm not trying to make mistakes. I'm not just sitting around calculating. And if you'll admit it, there was a time you were a sinner. And I used to, when I was a sinner, I thought about sinning. I planned to sin. And you did too. Don't you look so self-righteous with me. You understand? You're making plans all week about what you're going to do on the weekend or what you're going to do when you get off work and all these other things. Well, why don't we plan the other way? Why don't we plan to live righteous? Why don't we think about what we're going to do righteously instead of what we used to do wickedly? You understand? You plan to do good. You don't plan to fail, but it's amazing how many Christians I hear are making plans to fail. Well, you know, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, you may be an old sinner, but if you are, you're not saved. If you've been saved by grace, you've been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of light. Light and darkness don't hold hands. And righteousness and wickedness don't hold hands. What agreement does Christ have with Belial? What agreement does light have with darkness? It doesn't. You understand? And we have to get this mentality on the inside of us that God does not ask us to do what He doesn't give us the ability to do. God will not ask you to live righteously if you can't live righteously. But He will let you know that the only way you can live righteously is with His Spirit in you. And if you think you can do it on your own, you need to wake up and find out that your track record's not real good. You can't do it on your own. And I don't understand how Christians think they can live without the Holy Spirit. The life that God wants them to live. I'm going to tell you this, you won't produce the fruit of the Spirit without union with the Spirit. You can deceive yourself. But the character of the Lord is not going to be displayed on a regular basis. And so, John 15 is telling us that we're to unite with that branch. I mean, that vine. We're the branches. Jesus is the vine. And if we're going to produce fruit, note the branches is what's producing the fruit. But the branches don't have life apart from the vine. So you have to stay connected to Him. Well, how do I stay connected? Through fellowship. I'm going to give you something you can relate to. You're adults, right? So you can relate to this. How does a husband and a wife, how do they have babies? Is it not through intimate relationship? If one's living in Thomasville and one's living in Germany, if it happens, there's a problem. Right? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to have to live with the Holy Spirit. You've got to be in union with the Holy Spirit. It's not just a Sunday morning deal. It's every day of your life. It's a desire to want to be aware of the presence of God all the time. You want the Spirit of God working in you every day. But a lot of people just wait for Sunday and then hope God may use me or whatever. No, the work is 7 days a week. Our rest is in Jesus. He's your Sabbath. But we're to be representing Him every day of our life. In character. In character. I know the works follow, but in character. My emphasis in this study is on the character of the Lord through the fruit of the Spirit that can only come as a result of union. Any works we do should be ministered in an atmosphere of fruit. Otherwise, they can be very ineffective. As a matter of fact, you know, when Paul closes out the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says, "Yet I show unto you a more excellent way." Now, that 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians is talking about manifestation of the Spirit, and he's talking about some gifts of the Spirit as far as an apostle, a teacher, a prophet. He's talking about other gifts, miracles, and things of this nature, but he says, "I show unto you a more excellent way." And when he goes into the 13th chapter, it's fruit. You understand? It's fruit. Love is fruit. And he spends a lot of time on love, giving you 16 distinct qualities of love in that 13th chapter. But note how he starts it out. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I'm nothing. And if I think I am, I'm deceiving myself." It's like somebody beating on a cymbal with just sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. You're just beating on it, just banging on it, but there's no distinction to it. And that's the way a lot of people are are functioning in earth today with gifts. They're just making a lot of noise, but it's not being effective. And the only way we're going to be effective in our gifts is by operating through the character of Jesus. God is what? Love. Never read it? God is love. God is love. Well, if I am a son of God, and I am, shouldn't love produce love? Then the love of God, according to Romans 5:5, which shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. So without the Holy Spirit, how can you operate with the love of God? If the Holy Spirit's the one that sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts. So how can we produce that fruit? That's an easy answer. You can't. Okay? And so we must be full of the Spirit of God, not just an initial baptism, but staying in union with Him, being full of. How many of you had a glass of water yesterday? Is that going to last you for the rest of your life? No, you're going to keep filling it, right? And you keep filling it, you keep filling it. We need to be filled on a daily basis. You run out. Just like your car run out of gas, you have to put gas in it. We have to keep ourselves exposed to the Spirit of God. Now, I want us to look at a parable that Jesus gave in the 13th chapter of Luke. We'll pick up with verse 6 in that, Michaela. Luke chapter 13. It says, He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. What did he come looking for? Fruit, not leaves. Right? He came looking for fruit. And then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found it. I haven't found this thing in 3 years it hadn't produced fruit. So, cut it down. It's using up the ground. It's in the way. Now, this is a parable of intercession too, you understand? He said, but he answered and said to him, Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that you can cut it down. Here's what I want to teach, not intercession, but I want to teach what God's looking for, fruit. This agrees with John 15. The branch that doesn't bear fruit, what happens to it? It's severed from the vine. It's cut off. And it's burned. Right? Why? Because it's not worth anything. It's not enough just going around looking good. And you know, Jesus cursed the fig tree. It looked good. It had all these leaves over it. Well, it's sending out a message. But when he starts pulling the leaves back and getting inside and finding that it's deceiving, there's no fruit there. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people's lives, the people professing Christians, when you pull the leaves back and you get in and you see the character of them, you're not going to find fruit. I don't want to be guilty of that, do you? I want the Lord, when He comes to me, I want Him to find fruit, not a facade. Well, the only way that's going to happen is I have to do something. I have to stay in His presence. Living in the presence of the Lord. Not here a little while and doing my thing and all that, but it's staying in His presence. We're to be fruit-bearing Christians. Right? And the only way that can happen is for Christ to be living through me. Through me. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified. And if you don't know what crucifixion is, it kills you. Okay? So what he's saying is, I'm a dead man, but I'm living. But it's not really me living. It's Christ living in me. And the life that I'm living now in this physical body is by the faith of the Son of God. Not by my reasoning, not by my senses, not by anything that has to do with flesh. It has to do with allowing Jesus to use this body to manifest Himself through you. And you understand that that's exactly what He wants to do when He comes into your heart, when you're born again. You're not born again to keep from going to hell. That's a benefit. But that's not the thing. I'm going to tell you why Jesus had the donkey loose. Those guys went out there and untied the donkey because the Lord needed him. He needed a vehicle to ride on. And the reason God loosed you out of bondage or me out of bondage, God delivered me from sin and set me free, was so He could have a vehicle to ride, one that could carry the message. And that's, do you understand, we're carriers of the message, we're not the message. A lot of people haven't realized that. They think they're it. No, we're not it. What we're to do is portray Christ in character, to present Christ to others. And this is done by fruit of the Spirit. You ever heard the old adage, I can't hear what you're saying for seeing what you are? Well, there's a lot of truth to all that. And if we're not producing that character, we're in danger of being cut down when you look at this parable that He was given. How many of you believe the world is desperately starving? They need fruit. They need something to sustain them. Works won't sustain them. You understand? Stuff won't sustain them. It's going to take fruit to sustain them. And the fruit they're looking for is not browbeating them and telling them if you don't get your life straightened out, you're going to hell and all this type of stuff. But what they need to see is somebody loves them in spite of who they are. Somebody loves them in spite of their lifestyle. Now, you know, Jesus got criticized for eating with the sinners and the publicans and the harlots and all the other. Not because He was palling out with them. He went there to deliver them. He went there to represent the Father to them. And the thing that amazes me about the church, well, is we want to withdraw from the world. And yet we're the light of the world, but we want to take the light out of the world. And then wonder why it's so dark out there. We're to let our light shine. We're the salt of the earth. So if you take the salt away, the world's going to have a horrible taste. You understand? But if we stay out there, we represent the Lord. We don't succumb to the things of the world. But light drives out darkness. Darkness cannot overcome light. Never has, never will. But light can drive back the darkness. Now I'm talking about the character of Jesus. Okay? And so, if you haven't gotten the message yet, we're to represent Jesus in earth, like Paul said, for me to live is Christ. If I die, that's going to be gain. But I can't think about dying and gaining. I'm thinking about living right now so people can see Jesus. Amen. And we'll have to stop there. My time's up. Okay?